The information in this video or podcast is not intended nor implied to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. All content, including text, graphics, images, and information contained in this video or podcast, is for general information purposes only and does not replace your professors or a consultation from your own doctor or healthcare professional.
Welcome back, everybody. How was everybody's week? I hope it was nice and fun and relaxing, and I don't know.
I mean, I feel like you said it pretty well.
Right? Well, welcome back again. I'm Laura, and
I'm Ken. I don't know. I thought you were going to introduce me.
I was about to.
Okay, go ahead.
I started saying Kenny, though, again.
Let me hear it.
Well, see, the pressure's on. Welcome back, guys. I'm Laura. This is Kenneth, a.k.a. Ken, a.k.a. Kenny.
Full legal name. The PTA Podcast with your hosts, Ken.
And Laura. Thanks again for joining for another exciting episode.
All right. Well, welcome.
Welcome, guys. I hope you guys had a wonderful week and weekend and that everything's going well.
Everyone's staying safe.
Mm-hmm. Everybody's throwing parties. I'm just kidding.
I mean, you could, because our next topic is quite stressful.
It is. So you might need a party after it.
That's what I'm saying. So our topic is going to be our board exams.
Whoop, whoop.
So we have April right around the corner. Laura looked into it. The testing dates this year are going to be April 6th and 7th. So we're going to be talking about how we prepped. Kind of the forever non-spoken spoken word of the day before, you do absolutely no studying and you relax.
You only did the day before.
I didn't study at all, so.
Well, I didn't study for the 2 days before.
So we're going to be talking about that as well as talking about kind of after the test.
Yeah, when you took it. Let's start with when you decided to take it. Did you take it while you were still in the program or did you take it while you're out? And sorry for that, my dog is in the office with us again, guys. We have Clifford as a guest.
We have our audience yet again, who's being destructive.
He loves to go over to Ken and knock his mic down. He wants to participate. Yeah, he's a guy's dog. And the husband is out of town right now, so Kenny is his new favorite one right now.
His new owner.
You wish. Yeah. But we were going to talk about, let's talk about, like, when you took the test.
So I had two options. I could have taken it early in April, kind of as soon as I graduated, or actually during our second rotation.
Okay.
And then the second option was July. For the longest time, I wanted to take it in April. As soon as I entered the program, I was thinking about taking it in April. And then I decided to take it in July instead, just because I didn't want to really study for the rotations and kind of focus on that. And then also at the board exam at the same time, regardless if I could have passed or not, I just didn't want to take that chance.
Yeah, the stressfulness of it.
Yeah, so I opted for the July testing.
Okay.
And then we had a window during COVID because of the whole 6 feet rule. So we had from July 6th to July 26th. The earlier you sign up, the earlier your test date chances were. And the slots kind of filled up as you went.
Mm-hmm.
So I wanted to sign up as early as possible. So I did July 6th at 8 a.m.
Ooh, wake up and go.
Yep, just get it done.
Didn't want to overthink it.
No, and I kind of scratched that 4th of July because I didn't want to go crazy that year.
Yeah, so I had the same thing of, like, I could technically take it while we were in the middle, I think towards the end middle of our last rotation, before we even had our review class, because we did our last rotation, then we had to come in for 1 week for the review for the testing, where we get our review books, where we would do all that stuff. So I had that option, and then I was going to do it, but during my first clinical rotation was so stressful for me, I decided not to take the chance because I really didn't want to pay for the fees again, was a big thing. And so I decided that I was not going to. and ended up taking it July 6th, I remember, because it was 2 days before 4th of July, and everybody's like, oh, you're going to be studying during July 4th, and you can't hang out, you can't drink, da-da-da-da, and I was like, oh, crap, I want to drink, I want to party, I want to have a 4th of July, and then I learned that it's best if the 2 days before your test, you did not study at all.
Yeah, so I did the 1 day before the test.
I did two. And I was okay with two because
I mean, I kind of did like the last week was light studying. It was like a quick what don't I know review with like the last, like I did a lot of heavy studying as soon as I finished my rotations. And then up to the exam about a week before, I kind of just like touched here and there, maybe took a couple practice 10 question things and then took my test.
Yeah, and this is, guys, where you're gonna find out like the really the difference between like kind of me and Ken's studying habits. Like we're total opposites. Ken is a very prepper, study the whole entire time, really on top of it, much better. Don't give me that look, you're way so better she says. Than I am. I'm the type of girl who's like, oh, it's Friday, haven't studied it once, and we have a test on Monday. Let me cram. So I told myself and my husband, because my original plan was to also not work after I graduated just so I could study for the test and really focus. I graduated in April, right? Yeah, that sounds about right.
Yeah, our school graduates in April. Yeah,
in April. So I graduated April. Couldn't take the test till July 6th. So I had that whole time to study.
You didn't do anything?
I studied.
You didn't even work?
No, I didn't work because I was going to focus. I was going to focus on studying.
You were going to focus.
I was good. That was the plan.
So what did you do for those 3-4 months?
I went to Havasu. I hung out with my friends.
Well, then.
Hung out with the husband. Actually organized things.
Well, I actually started working as soon as I graduated.
Yes. This is where, like I said, me and Ken were completely opposite. And so you were kind of studying that whole entire time, though.
On and off.
No, you studied too.
At the very beginning, I did, but that's also kind of when I discovered anime, and that kind of took over my life.
Yes, but at the same time, like, you were always kind of studying because you were in it. Like, when you were working, you and me did get the chance to work together a little bit prior to before me kind of leaving. So, like, we did, and I got to be around a lot to see while you were working.
I mean, being in the field definitely has its pros and cons.
Yeah, so you were studying throughout you training at the same time because you would ask questions. You would ask questions of like, hey, I noticed we're doing this, but like, how does that relate to the book text-wise? Like, you asked us a lot of different questions, or you'd always review it while we were there.
Which is funny because I actually had a patient once that was a nurse. Mm-hmm. And she was like a nurse instructor, nurse examiner. Like when you take your test, like she's the person that you go to, or she teaches nursing. I don't know, something nursing relating for the exam. And she told me that it's good that I started practicing already before my exam, but she's like, do not take the bad habits with you. She's like, learn it from your book for the test.
Yes.
Because I will pick up things while I'm practicing that are not necessarily textbook.
Yeah, they
don't match up with the textbook. And that can lead me to the wrong answer.
Example.
So she's like, learn it from your text.
Frozen shoulder.
Oh, yeah. Episode one. I remember that.
Episode one.
It doesn't fully transfer over.
It does not.
But just know it for your exam.
And we would just like to state that Ken went and asked his supervising PT the exact same questions that he asked me. And she said the same thing I did about flexion.
Yeah, just because.
So I would just like to point out there that, you know, it's not just me.
And I mean, you'll see it a lot, like, after you start practicing, like, you learn a lot of this stuff for the exam, and then you use it or you lose it.
I don't know, like, 70% of what the book said anymore. Like, if you threw a practice exam at me, I'd question whether or not I pass. But here's the thing, guys, don't freak out about that either, too, because there's this thing called Google. And because we actually know what to look for correctly, and we have the idea and the concepts pretty much down, you can get the right answer. You can go back to your books. Like,
yeah, go back to your notes. You go back to your books.
Yeah, if you like switch over from, you know, inpatient to outpatient, and you're more knowledgeable about strokes and, oh gosh, I'm blanking on other things going on, diabetes, like you don't deal as much with that kind of stuff in outpatient. You can always do a refresher on more outpatient things like.
And speaking of that, I mean, that's another reason why we're doing this podcast, really. Mm-hmm. Because you do lose a lot of it. So like if you are trying to switch fields and we mention something, you're like, oh yeah, like I kind of remember that.
Yeah.
And you can, you know, do your own research and do your own things, because we don't have it all right, I'm sure.
Oh gosh, no.
But just kind of like spark at those ideas, make sure you don't lose what you've learned in school, and kind of take our experiences to what you're doing.
Yeah, this is, again, just kind of to get our brains thinking a little bit, share our experiences and everything like that. But going back to, like, the testing, you know, you studied quite often, honestly.
I would say that my best practice when taking my board was I studied a lot up front. When I mean up front, I mean during the program. So I really like honed down my like anatomy, my patho, my ortho, physical agents, like you name it. Anyway, so I did a lot of studying while I was going through the program itself, so that when I knew I had to test for my board and study for it, I already had a lot of that stuff in my head. And it's not, I didn't do a lot of memorizing. Some of it you have to memorize. It is what it is. But the more you can understand things, and the less you have to, if you can understand the concepts, it will make your life so much easier.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's less memorization. And if you come across a question, you can kind of work it out, which was my goal.
And usually the questions too for the board, they're not going to be straightforward, guys. There's usually going to be a better, best answer.
Yes, you'll learn a lot of that from your practice test.
Yes, and so you're like, well, that's correct. And you're like, yeah, that's correct, but that's not the best answer. You're like, son of a...
And some questions are going to be very, very confusing. Yeah. But just kind of pick which one you think is best, and as long as you can justify it, then that definitely helps you. Like, if you're picking an answer, if you're just picking an answer, just pick an answer, then I wouldn't do that. Yeah. Like, if you can pick an answer because you can justify it, at least in your head, even if it just sounds weird, like it's just somewhere in there, then that's better than just picking some random answer.
And then the way that like the test is set up too, where it's, at least when I took it, it was 200 questions. Yeah, that sounds right. 200 questions, but 50 of them were tester questions.
Correct, for the next test.
For the next test on whether or not they were going to put them in, if they need wording change, or if they were going to toss them because they're too easy. You don't know which 50 those are.
And you really can't tell.
No, you can't.
They're like scattered.
I will say, if I came across a test and a question, I was like, oh yeah, I know this one right away. I was like, that's going to get tossed. That's a tester.
That's true. Another thing that I would do to practice for my test was, so I used a lot of Basecamp. Like it's a score builder's website where it kind of comes up with like, oh, this is the topic.
Did it come with the book?
No, you have to purchase it separately.
I feel like I maybe got it. I'm not 100% sure. It sounds familiar.
But like there's different peaks, like different mountains. So I use that quite a bit. So it's like a musculoskeletal, a neuro, other systems, non-systems. You pick the topic. You can go through different kind of subtopics. And there's actually quizzes associated with it. Mm-hmm. So I picked a lot of the ones that I didn't know and went through those testings. But even in the program, even while I was studying, I would always try to answer the question before looking at my choices.
So
if I can see the question and if I can answer it in my head before I see the options, that gives me a way better chance of getting it right.
I can see that. For me, like what I would do is I'm a double guesser. Well, when taking the test, like I have to read things sometimes multiple times out. Like at a time, like I have to reread the sentence a couple times to fully process it and then reread the questions a couple times too. But like if I ever had a question on I wasn't sure, I made sure to mark those separately and just go back just to those questions. So that way I didn't go back to the all of them and reread them and change them. Because I'm a type of person who I will double think and I will change.
Every single time, yeah.
And I will change ones that I'm like 99% sure are right.
And that's dangerous.
And exactly. So I learned throughout my college career that not to do that. If I had a question on one, I mark which one I had that question and I only go back to those ones and reread them. If I'm like, I'm not 100% sure. I don't want to quite pick one yet. Or if I would pick one, but I'm still like, I need to come back to this one. I'm not 100% sure. I go back to those questions. So like you should be allowed a pen and paper. They should give you one if I remember correctly.
Yeah, they still gave me one.
And so I would just mark them. I'd be like question 15, go back to question 5. And I'd only go back to those. So if you're like a double guesser, but here's the thing. Don't massively change your habits either going into the test.
Yeah, these are things that we did for us personally. But if you have your own strategies, I mean, that test is not like in the next week or so.
If you have your way, that's fine. These are just different tips. If you're like, I do the same thing. Like, hey, I would like to do that too. Like, you can do that too. But I don't want anybody blaming us if they change something.
I think the only marking the ones that you're more questioning is better. And there's also like a way you can mark it on the computer itself.
I couldn't remember if there was that light time or not. Like,
oh, go back to this one.
Yeah. Because it's 50 chunks at a time. At least when I took it.
Yeah, 450 questions. So once questions,
you pass that sections. 50, you can't go back to like, no, if you're on the third you 50, it, you cannot go back to the first 50. So know that.
Yeah. And for that, dang it, you made me lose my train of thought.
Oh, my bad.
Oh, but, just not going through every single question.
Yeah. Time's like, just not going to allot it too.
Like if you're still going through the program now.
Yeah.
Like, if you're done with the test, I had the habit of just not even rechecking my answers at all. I would go through the test once and I would submit it.
Same. Unless I marked a question.
Because if I feel like if I went through it again, I would change my answers quite a bit.
Yep.
But it bit me in the butt sometimes too. Because if I reread them and took my time, like these were questions I shouldn't have missed. But because either I was going too fast or I maybe misread a word, it made me get it incorrect.
I feel like I would change more.
But yeah, I would definitely say just mark the ones you're not sure of.
I don't
think
there's a perfect way, of course, to it.
Yeah, but I wouldn't. Yeah, don't definitely reread the whole thing because it's time consuming and the board exam is timed.
Mm-hmm. And I know people who timed
overthink.
Out.
Oh, yeah, me too.
Yeah.
They didn't have enough time to finish their test. And the worst thing is to have questions unanswered.
Yeah.
Because those are automatically incorrect.
Mm-hmm.
So definitely try to get through your exam.
Yeah. And then take those breaks that are offered in between just to get up and go to the bathroom. I know it's a pain to check out, check back in.
Oh, yeah, my professor would tell me for his exam too is bring something with sugar.
Were you guys allowed to eat between?
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to remember if we were.
Like I would just get like, so I brought like a protein bar and I brought like a Coke.
Yeah. I think you have to take it out of the locker though, huh?
Yeah, it has to be in the locker.
I thought you still couldn't even go to your locker because I thought you weren't allowed to check your phone in between.
There's limited things you got to do. Like, we had limited storage or limited something or limited access.
Yeah.
So we could only access food and drinks. And we had to stay, like, right in front of, like, the proctor person.
That's what I think it was, too. But I think at our time, maybe just because of the way it was separate, you would put your food, snacks, and drinks, like, in a different cubby.
Yeah, I think, I can't remember.
Because
exactly.
I think all of our cell phones and electronics, watches, all of that was locked in a locker with a key code. And you weren't allowed to access that until after your test.
Yeah, I'm not sure if they held on to it or if they just trusted us.
Yours might have been different because of COVID standards. So too.
Yeah, I remember it had to be turned off and tucked away. And we only had access to like our food and drinks during the breaks.
That makes sense.
But it's always stuck, whether it's true or not, I don't know. Like my professor would say, like, you know how like your brain runs off glucose, right?
Mm-hmm.
So have something with lots of sugar.
Yeah.
So if you like Starbucks, get a sugary Starbucks drink. Or a soda or something like for your break.
Soda, heyo. Caffeine.
While you're
Sure. Don't mess up your benefits, like, or your routines too. Like, if you know you always have coffee and then that makes you go poo after a while, make sure you give yourself enough time though too. Like, still have your coffee. Do not skip your coffee the day before because you're like, oh, I don't want to have to poop beforehand. You might need to get up a little bit earlier, get your coffee in, and then go before you take the test. That's better than trying to sleep a little bit longer and skipping over whatever normal thing you have in the morning. Because that's also how your body knows how to function.
Also, if you're like your exams later, because the dates are fixed. But you can pick between the earlier or later time.
That's how, like, so, our date was one day and you had a morning session and you had an afternoon session.
And that's why, like, if you're a better afternoon, like, if you feel like you're more functioning and more alert in the afternoon, pick the afternoon testing time.
Or if you know that you function better in the morning or waiting that long is going to increase anxiety, take it in the morning. Like, I'm not fully a morning person. But I know waiting for something like that just raises my anxiety. So yeah. I did the same thing in the morning one.
I took mine in the morning, but I had a friend take his at 1 o'clock, the afternoon one, just because he's like, knowing him, he's going to stay up all night studying. He crams all night. He doesn't sleep at all. Like, he stayed up all night for every single exam. If he stayed up all night, he can still sleep
nowadays, somewhat in the morning. Nowadays, I feel like I'm in bed by like 8 o'clock.
That's late. I'm in bed by 7.
Unless anime's on.
I mean, I'm still in bed. I'm just watching it. But then up until the test day, like the day before, 2 days before, just don't even look at your book. I mean, if you have a question on something and you're like, oh, crap, what was that again? Like, okay, like, go look it up. I'm not saying don't look at your book at all. It's like taboo. Don't do it. But
you just need to relax. You need a downtime in a way. Yes. Because it has showed that cramming those last few hours is not going to stick in your brain and not going to be able to apply. Really. Like Ken said, it's about knowing the concept and getting the concept down. Because if you got the concept down,
you can work your way through a lot of questions.
Yeah, you can. Like, for example, joints, how they moved. If you get the concept of how each joint works, as long as you know what each joint is, then you should be able to talk about the movement of it. Like, you should be able to get that down when you're relating it to joint mobs or something like that, for example.
Yeah, and definitely kind of
work your way closer to the answer.
Yeah, and like level one questions, like they'll talk about level one, level two, level three questions. And level one questions is kind of like what we did in our first episode of kind of like the softball game where it's...
I question his level one question.
Anyways, it's kind of like a whether you know it or you don't.
Yeah.
For the test. Like, those questions are going to be hard to work through, even if you have a concept down. Because it's going to be like almost a straight definition.
Yeah.
Once you take, like, utilize your practice exams, look over those. Again, like, I used a lot of score builders, and on the score builders, they broke down whether it was a level one, level two, level three question on top of explaining why the answer was the answer and everything. Definitely utilize those.
And that would be my tip too for those of you as I know that are taking the test, like coming up very quickly. You know, we're looking within a week. I know it's a little late to kind of get started on some of those testing sites and everything like that. But for those of you guys who are going to take it later, definitely get score builders. Pay the extra money to get more tests and reviews. And now each testing ones are going to be different. It's like some of the score builders are purposely set up to for you only to get 50%. Like, they'll tell you if you can get 50% on this one, majority of the people can pass. Like, so don't think just because you got like a crappy score on some of these practice tests that you're not going to be able to do it.
Each of those tests have a target score.
Mm-hmm.
So as long as you hit your target score, you're good. Yeah. You essentially pass that test. Do you know what the other test is called?
Well, the other one's the O'Sullivan one.
No, you have like the retired MPTE, those ones.
Oh, the old test ones?
So you have your score builders, which are like
practice tests. I don't know, we got that from our school.
Yeah, you get it from the school.
Yeah, well, I don't think you only got two of those. I don't think all schools give them out, though.
Really?
I don't know.
So you have your score builders tests, which are kind of like practice tests. From what I know, a lot of those people work with the people who actually make the exam, and that's why their questions are so closely related.
Mm-hmm.
And your goal is to hit the target score. But our school also gave us retired MPTE exams, and yeah. those tests where it actually gave you what you scored between the point scale. And those are the ones that you wanted to hit at least 600. And then it gave you like a plus minus within this range for this category, that category, so you know what category to work on. And they kind of want you to be like in the 650s or so to kind of be safe, more or less.
Yeah. For us, it was nice because, well, who was in charge of your program?
I mean, they moved around, but it was Laura at first.
Okay. So you didn't have the same one I did. So I had Mills as the head of my program. She currently was active as a PT who was sitting on the board for reviewing test questions for the PTA. Not saying that she knew what the tests were by any means. Like, I want to make this clear. She did not know the test. She did not know which subjects were going to be on the next exam or any of that kind of stuff. But what it is they would look at questions and be like, yeah, that wording sounds okay. That wording sounds like that's weird for us to even try to answer. Like, she would kind of review just to make sure, like, hey, this wording is correct, or that kind of stuff of like how they would word the question. So like, she set up our quizzes
to mimic the test,
to be worded almost identical to the test, which is good. Really helpful.
Yeah, because then it prepares you.
I guarantee your patho was still the same way off of ours, because she did all of our pathos. She did.
Yeah, patho definitely takes some people out. It's a hard topic. There's a lot to learn. And that one's a lot of memorization. But again, if you can try to learn the concepts as best as you can, like, it really helps. Because it is, you're literally learning a dictionary.
Yeah.
It is.
The thing is, like what Ken said in the beginning, there's a lot you're going to learn up front. And don't stress out when you actually go to the field and you realize, I don't remember any of it anymore. Or, like, even now, Ken will throw questions at me, and he's fresher out of school, so it is in his brain still. But I'm like, oh, frick, if I know, I can't, I'll Google that. I don't know. I don't remember.
Yeah,
but it's
not
something I use all the time.
Yeah.
Where do, no offense, but do I think my manual skills are better than yours? Probably. But I've also had more years under my belt to get my manual skills down. Am I going to feel things a little bit better than probably what you can feel at this time? Yeah, most likely, because, again, I've been doing it for longer.
You're transitioning from knowledge to experience.
Yes, exactly. And so, like, but when you're doing your test, book is always going to go with book.
And that's the hard part about working already as soon as you graduate, because you might pick up those habits. But, yes, learn it by the book.
Yeah, we never actually talked about how I did my studying. I briefly talked about
it. You said you didn't study. You said you crammed. You said you crammed
2 weeks
for like
2 weeks.
The
test.
Exactly.
Granted, though, that's just how I take things.
If it works
better
for you, it works for you. Look,
I passed
your test. Exactly.
Was it the highest score? No. Was it the lowest score? No. It's a win-win.
If you hit 600, so as long as you log in and it says pass, you're good.
See, guys, you could study for 2 weeks and have a full life. Or you could always study and have no life, because that's all Ken would tell me. I can't go out. I'm studying.
Well, you spend 2 years of your life to pay for this program.
No. You got to do what's the best for you. I'm just making fun of Ken.
If you don't pass it, like, I'm sure it stinks.
Oh,
I was freaking out. Yeah, I was nervous. I need to pass this test. Like, it's one of the biggest moments that I've been studying for, building up to. Like, it,
I walked out.
It can be a little anxious.
Yeah, I walked out of that test, and there's a good chunk of my classmates that tested that day, same day and same location type thing. And so we kind of waited for each other as we trickled out. And I walked out, and one of my classmates, like, how do you think you did? And I was like, I failed. Like, no, I was like, there's no way. It's a very
common feeling. Like, I've seen people cry.
Every single person came out saying the same thing. They
failed. At that point, as soon as the test is done, just try not to think about it until your results come back.
Because yeah, you'll panic for 2 weeks.
it kind of sucks.
I started apologizing to my husband when I got home saying that we're going to have to pay for it again.
And you can't. And the other thing, too, is like you can't talk specific about the tests. Like, they tell you that before.
I don't even remember.
Oh, yeah. I don't know if you remember that, but yeah, when we were going through our
no, like, score I wouldn't even be able to remember
oh,
for the it. Test.
Oh.
Like, if you asked me specifically, I'd be like, I don't know. Yeah, you're so fried afterwards. Like, they I felt really like are. I went home and I remember I slept for exhausted. 2 hours. I went home and knocked the F out. I didn't even make it to my bed. I fell asleep on the couch.
No, it definitely takes out a lot of, I think I had that day off, or maybe I took a half day.
No, you took the whole day off,
just because I'm going to be tired. You took
the day before and the day off, because it was on a Tuesday.
No, the day before was, we're observing 4th of July.
Oh, okay, yeah.
So I was off
so
Monday.
So you just took Tuesday off then.
And I took Tuesday off, and then I worked Wednesday.
Yeah. So if you guys don't pass, don't freak out, though, because of the fact that there is... You can always retake it. We have known people who have not passed. And not... I don't want you guys to think that that means that you're not smart or you don't get the concept. Because that's not it. There's a lot of times where it's testing. It's anxiety because of the way that it's set up.
It is a big test.
It is a big test. So don't think that just because of the fact that you don't pass once, twice, or even three times, like that means you're done with. No. Work through it. Don't give up on it. If this is something you really want to do, just find outside help to get you through. Take and some that's more of the big practice thing.
Like,
tests.
Find, like, see if you didn't pass, like, just see what you missed. Make sure you get your scores back. See what categories that you didn't do strongly in. Study those categories.
I didn't even pay for that part.
Well, yeah, because you passed.
You're right.
Pay why for would it. You? Why would you want to pay for it if you already passed?
I don't know. I was still nosy. I wonder if I could look up.
No, it's already gone. You get 30 days.
Damn.
Anyways, see what subjects you didn't do strong in. But again, like, it might not be, whether like the knowledge, like it might just be test anxiety.
Oh, and I have a lot of that too. I think I could have gotten a better score, but I get really bad test anxiety sometimes.
That's why take your time. Take deep breaths. If you don't pass, just keep studying, keep trying, look at other study techniques, see what topics you need to be stronger in, and try again. Like, if you know this is the field you want to be in, then there's no reason to just not try it again and try to pass.
Mm-hmm. I definitely agree with that.
And again, some of you guys are going to be taking this exam in the next week or so. But if you're listening to this now and you're soon to be wrapping up your rotations and you'll be testing in July, and just same thing, just kind of stay on top of your studies, break it up. I would say study 80-20, 80% stuff you don't know and 20% stuff you do know, because that's what I did. If I didn't know the topic, I would definitely spend more time on it and just kind of breeze through topics I'm already familiar with, just to kind of speed up the studying process. And then kind of just go from there.
And reach out. Reach out to your classmates who are taking it too. Yeah, like,
study groups.
Get together on the study groups. Pros maybe and cons. Have them quiz you on something that you're weaker on.
Or ask questions.
Because that helps them study too.
I always did better when I explained things than when I studied myself.
Same.
Like, if I'm quizzing you, it was actually a stronger studying technique for me to study. Than you asking me questions.
I would, my husband is not in healthcare whatsoever. But what I used to do is, honestly, I would read my questions out to my husband, give him a multiple choice, and then tell him why. Now, granted, he hated it.
Naturally.
He did not find it interesting at all in that conversation. But it helped me a lot on...
Being able to explain it.
Yes, explaining it, and kind of explaining it in layman terms. If you can explain in layman terms,
then you really understand.
You probably got the concept down. That, or you've effed up the concept. Most of the
hopefully
time.
Hopefully the former.
So that's kind of how it is, but
But anyways,
any other I use some of the apps that were out there that would Basecamp
has an app.
There was another one that was literally they would ask a question a day.
Oh, just like the NPT.
It's like it was like
PTA.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, it was like a daily like question.
The Wordle for PTAs.
Oh gosh.
AKA, where is the new one for every day?
But yes, there's always a question. They always break it down. If someone else gets it, if you don't understand it and you still don't understand it after they explain it, then ask someone else how they got it.
Mm-hmm.
And they can explain it a different way.
Whiteboard, draw, do whatever you need to do.
No, but there's definitely apps out there to help you study. I use the Basecamp app. I signed up for their lifetime because I think it's a great app and just kind of fun to just pop in there and just take a couple quizzes.
I
don't know if they
had an app at the time I had it.
Let me show you. So you picked like the arena, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then you just hit climb.
Yeah, mine was solo, definitely not like that.
And then you have musculoskeletal, neuro.
Ooh, let me try taking one right now.
Other systems, non-systems.
Give me.
And it's just A, it's A or B. You get a 50-50 chance.
Musculoskeletal. Begin. Oh, gosh.
What's the question? Read it out loud.
Hold on. I can't read in tech. E. I got it right.
What was the question?
Genometric measurement, anterior superior iliac spine is a landmark. Hip abduction, hip or hip medial rotation.
For your ASIS?
Anterior superior iliac spine is a landmark.
ASIS.
Mm-hmm.
I was going to say hip flexors, but that's not an option.
Nope. Hip abduction or hip medial rotation?
I would say medial rotation.
Hip abduction.
Ding, what goes ding. There?
Hmm?
Why is that a landmark for hip abductors?
That's where the goni would go.
Oh, we're talking about the goni.
Yeah. I literally said that in the beginning.
I was talking about muscles. I'm like, what muscle performs abduction from the ASIS?
The goni measurement.
Oh, yeah, that goes.
You have to think the ASIS is just straight up a landmark.
I know. I completely forgot we're talking about goniometric measurements.
Oh, okay.
I thought we were talking about muscles.
What muscles attached to it?
Yeah, hip flexors attached. Like you have your.
No. Okay. Next. Elbow ligamentous instability, Vargas stress test or elbow flexion stress test. I'm horrible at this, but I'm going to go with the Vargas stress test. Ding, ding, ding. I'm right again. I will say I'm weak on special tests.
Oh, yeah. Special tests are not my problem. We don't really perform them,
so I don't really do well
at them. We never practice them.
Allows the head of the radius to retain contact with the ulnar, the annual ligament or anterior ligament. I'll tell you which one.
Annular.
Yep, that is correct.
I didn't know if you were asking me or not.
Well, I was going to say it, and then I realized I should let you guys don't know which one I pick. So I should give you time to pick it. It's hard because this makes you answer them quick.
Yeah, you have no time to think about it.
Yeah, I'm barely like reading
and
through.
And the goal is how many you can get right in a row.
Oh, now you tell me that? Oh, this is stressful.
Because as soon as you get one wrong, you go back to the bottom.
Treatment for Achilles tendonitis.
Wow, if you get this wrong.
Heel cushion or heel lift. Which one is it?
Heel lift.
Correct. Why is it the heel lift?
Because that relieves pressure on the Achilles.
Mm-hmm.
Because decreases, you're not in so much dorsiflexion.
Well, it decreases the tension that's required on to the insertion point of the Achilles tendon.
Because you're more like this.
Like this?
Instead of like this.
People can't see this and this. Can you please explain what you're doing with your hands right now?
Your foot is not neutral. You're more in a plantar flexion position.
Correct.
With a heel lift.
Yep. So it decreases the stress, which is decreases the inflammation, supposedly, that built up on the Achilles. I will tell you they work.
She speaks from experience.
All right. Let's see next one. Increased fluid in the joint capsule. effusion or edema?
Effusion.
Yes, yes, yes. I'm a little proud of myself right now. Muscular skeletal is probably one of my strongest.
Well, yeah, we're in ortho.
Yeah. Well, still, see, like,
isn't this app fun?
Yeah. In all fairness, though, like, I've been out of the playing game just for a little bit, and I'll tell you, being out of the playing game and not doing it like daily anymore, or even thinking about that stuff, it does throw a wrench in. Like, I have to, like, I'm like,
You can't even issue challenges with people, so you can send a challenge.
Ooh, maybe we should get this essential to recovery following grade 2 lateral ankle sprain. Electrical stimulation for healing or proprioceptor retaining.
Okay,
I was trying to say that really fast. I was trying to answer. Oh, don't look.
I already knew what the answer was.
Okay, well, what was it?
The proprioceptive one.
Yeah, training. I was trying to say it real fast. Like, I barely can read it.
Like, a half of the words you said were just a blur to me.
So the question was, essential to recovery following a grade 2 lateral ankle sprain. Electrical stimulation for healing or proprioceptive retraining.
Yeah.
So technically,
just can I increase? I mean, you can use tens, but it's not really for healing.
I was about to say, this is a great example of their what's the better.
Yeah, one's better than the other.
What's the better answer of the other? Like, because electrical stimulation for grade 2 lateral ankle sprain, you can use it for healing. Electrical stimulation.
I was just saying it's more like pain control, not really healing.
Well, if you can control the pain, you can usually help with healing.
I guess.
Yeah. They technically go hand in hand.
The proprioception one's definitely the better answer. Because that's going to increase stability and strength. And do you know why the TENS works?
Yeah.
For pain? There's a certain theory. Do you know what it is?
The block theory.
The what?
The block theory. Gate control.
There you go.
I had to think of the word. But what it is technically, I tell patients it's kind of like a speedway in a way. You got a highway, one lane highway, and you got these cars coming in from on ramps, right?
Okay.
But only one car can get onto the main highway at a time and send up their signal. What it is you got cars coming in at different speeds. Well, pain is a certain speed. It's an electrical wavelength that's a certain speed. What it does is 10 comes in and cuts it off and says, I'm going up there first. And so you're going to feel the TENS stimulation over the pain stimulation. Now, granted, you could still feel pain at the same time because, again, depending on which highway is being connected by the TENS unit. So
I use the door method. So I say there's one door. Mm-hmm. Only one thing can go through it at a time. Right now, there's always pain going through it. What happens when you put the TENS in is it takes over the door and the TENS goes through. So you feel the vibrations over the pain. And the example I like to use that people use a lot are, like, if you hit your funny bone and it starts to hurt, the first instinct a lot of people do is start rubbing it so that you feel the rubbing sensation over the pain.
Because
the you're trying to give you a different stimuli.
Yeah. Well, and it all depends on the signal, too.
Correct.
Because each signal of those is different wavelength. Electricity, technically. Yeah,
that's a whole nother fiber topic.
Yeah, well, usually I honestly just explain it with my hands, too. Like, the car method is a great way if I need a different one. But honestly, I can't show you guys and that's why I didn't go into this one. But literally, I literally put my hand up twice. It's like, you got two signals and only one can make it through. I was like, what happens is you got the pain signal going up and then the 10 comes in. It's like, I'm faster, cut you off, and it makes it to the brain first. And patients are like, oh. And then that's a great way to explain to them why technically, unlock it, please. Sorry, his phone locked, guys. I still want to play. Why technically it only lasts for a certain amount of time, too. So.
Yeah, it's just temporary.
All right. Do. I like how it gives you the reason why after these questions, too. I think what I might do is I might answer this one, read it, answer, and then read it out to you.
Okay.
Because me trying to do it at the same time I'm trying to process it, this is a great way of, guys, of showing
how
sometimes you gotta change it up a little bit to understand better. Watch, I'll get this one wrong. Oh, gosh. Oh, I got it.
Wow. All right, what is it?
All right, the bone in the foot with the most articulations.
Before you give me the answers... Don't think it's your.
Can I give you your two?
Say, is it between the navicular and the cuboid? No.
No.
Are either of those an answer?
Okay, so you have the lateral third cuneiform.
Okay.
Or the talus.
Oh, wow. Neither that I was thinking of.
Now you can understand my struggle. He looked at me too, like, oh my gosh, I think she's going to lose this one. I was thinking of
the one that was the most.
Well, no, when I was trying to do it and I got really like, I was like, oh goodness gracious.
I'm going to go to talus.
Incorrect.
It was the lateral third
cuneiform. The lateral third cuneiform.
Well, oh, no. Dang it. Yeah, that makes sense.
You just think about it. The talus doesn't really move. Like,
dang. Yeah. I don't know what I was thinking.
No, that's okay. I my instinct at first is like talus.
For some reason, I was thinking of metatarsal instead of the cuneiform.
Yeah.
No, but that makes sense because you have to still articulate with the second cuneiform. You're still articulating with the
other smaller bones. With six bones.
Yeah.
Navicular, intermediate, cuboid. Second cuneiform, cuboid.
Cuboid, yeah.
And the third, second, and fourth metatarsal.
I was thinking of the metatarsal.
Yeah.
And I was like, the metatarsal is only going to go with just the cuneiform and the phalange, and that's it. I'm like, that's just two. And I was thinking the talus had at least three.
Yeah.
But the cuneiform, that definitely makes sense.
Yeah.
Wow.
So.
That was me not thinking it through.
The way I processed and eliminated it was just the fact that I literally thought of their locations in general within the foot.
Yeah.
No, and
cuneiform makes sense.
When I thought talus, I was like, yes, it's touching quite a few things, but at the same time, like, based off of its location, I was like, I don't know. No.
I was thinking two versus three, but
yeah.
The cuneiform is
That was it. All right, here we go. Next one. Kenny will keep you entertained while I read this.
So, the weather. Man, she's really taking her time reading this.
Okay, this one kind of, I got it wrong.
Ooh, she got it wrong.
I think, well, parts of me read it slightly wrong.
All right, what is it? Hit me with it.
Muscle grade given when a patient is able to initiate movement against gravity. Assuming patient could complete range of motion in a gravity-limited plane.
Three.
So you have fair minus, which is 3 minus out of 5, or poor plus, which is 2 plus out of 5.
The heck?
Right.
What was the first one?
Fair minus, which is 3 minus out of 5, or poor plus, which is 2 plus out of 5.
Read the question again.
See, this is it. This one I kind of rushed to answer it. So I was like, maybe if I thought on it more. Muscle grade given to the patient is Muscle grade given when a patient is able to initiate movement against gravity. Assuming patient could complete range of motion in gravity eliminated plane.
Just initiate movement. Then I'm going to go with the two. You said plus. Fair. And you said,
so there's fair minus. So then there's minus. Poor plus.
I'm going to go poor plus.
Yeah.
If they can just initiate movement and that's it.
Once I reread it. I was like,
it's hard to answer if you're going fast.
Yeah, that was a hard one the thing is too is
I thought they were completing this their is range where of like motion.
Your PTs are different because guess what, you have to kind of copy the way they grade.
Oh yeah, that's hard.
And so
like how much force I'm applying is not the same as
let's be honest applying. Our old PT 3 minus, that would have been a 3 minus.
Yeah, just initiating
he would not have done a 2 plus on that.
Yeah.
He would have done 3 minus because of the fact that anything with gravity related, he puts as a 3 minus.
True.
So that's also where my head goes right away.
That's why it's always nice to have the same person do the exam every time.
Yep. And that's why also, as a trick, guys, go in and do testing with your PT.
Yeah. See like, how they know do their it. Grade. See where they're measuring. See.
So for example, one of the PTs I worked with, if a patient could do, you put them at 90 degrees. And they can hold at that 90 degrees. He would give them a 3+. Even if they couldn't go all the way up because they're in pain. More of like, for example, shoulder impingement. Even though like, yeah, if they forced it, they could get all the way up there. but he knows like they don't do because it hurts too much. But he does a manual muscle test. He'll give them a 3. Interesting. Where one of our other PTs, he, if they do not do the full rein, no matter what, he's not giving them a 3.
Hmm.
So it, you,
everyone learned it differently. Maybe
I don't know. Not even that's interesting. That it's based off of their opinions because it is kind of gray. It talks about full range of motion, but like, for example, if I put that person in passive and everything like that, it's only because of pain that they're not reaching that 90 degrees. They can still get there. Because
the way I learned it in the text for muscle testing was, let's do shoulder flexion, for example. Mm-hmm. If they can get to 90 degrees, that's a 3.
Yeah.
They don't have to get 180.
No, see, ours was the way our test was. And I know they break it down now differently, too. Did they teach you minuses and plus?
No, they're getting rid of that.
Yeah, they got rid of it for us. But we were like a mixed group. Like some of our textbooks.
Because people still do it.
Yeah. And some of our textbooks still had it in it.
And the board exam still had it.
Mm-hmm.
I think. I don't know.
I don't remember.
I think mine did. I'm not sure.
It had the lower grades as plus and minuses, but not the higher grades. I don't know if we can
actually say that anyways.
I don't know
if I can say the board exam had that.
Mine are so old. Don't trust anything from my board exam, guys. I know,
mine was just last year.
Yeah, so you're screwed.
Just cut that part out. Anyway, I know some practice exams had it. And then, like, we were freaking out because we're like, what? We didn't learn 3 plus 3 minus. Like, they were telling us not to learn it anymore because they're trying to get away from it.
I think for that one, it was based off of, and this is a trick where you have to look because it gave you poor plus and fair minus. Yeah, you have to look at those wordings versus just the grading.
The numbers.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, both.
Because I say anything you do against gravity automatically puts you in the 3 category. Because everything in testing wise in with the 2 is no gravity. So,
gravity eliminated.
Yeah, it's gravity eliminated. So why would you put something, if someone's testing and they're still technically testing and able to do something in gravity, why would you put that in a non-gravity category?
I don't know. I didn't make the test.
We didn't make these rules up. But again, that's just where my brain goes.
Yeah.
So I'm a little salty about that one.
That was fun. Maybe we'll do it again. We'll do a different category next time. I told you it's pretty fun.
No, that one is fun.
The testing is actually pretty fun too when you do like on the mountains and just do the peaks that you're not familiar with.
I think it's fun too to do it like afterwards. Like now I get to do them and there's like no stress. Like I have a little bit of stress just because I'm recording and doing it.
And trying to remember it.
Yeah, trying to remember it. And that happens so fast too. Like I don't like the timing on that. I wish I gave you more because that is so quick on those timing.
Yeah.
I will say that. Like I got to read that question once through and then read. Cause maybe I'm a slow we
can
reader. Do
like a Ken versus Laura base camp topic and let's see who can get further. Well, anyways.
Yeah.
We'll go ahead and wrap this up.
Let's see. Do we know next week's topic? Give a little hint. Are we giving hint this time?
Yeah, we'll give it a little hint.
Okay. Give it a little hint. Let's see.
I mean, can I give a...
Ooh, yeah.
Can I do like a cheesy hint?
I'm assuming the cheese was not your hint.
No. Just the hint's going to be a little cheesy.
That's fine. We're cheesy.
I'm cheesy. I was going to say shiny. I mean, no one's supposed to get this off one hint.
Yeah. We'll keep, guys, again, check out. We'll post something Monday, most likely on Instagram, and then on Wednesday
on Twitter.
For the PT assistants. Again, just because of the fact that if we put PTA, it'll be associated with the school. So the PT assistants, check us out. Again, share, guys. This is the biggest thing. If you guys just enjoy listening to us or you guys have any feedback, please let us know. But nothing but kind words, please, at the same time.
I mean, as far as like ideas for the show, like topics you guys want us to discuss, mm-hmm. We can definitely hit those. As far as like audio and things like that, like we're figuring those things out. Background noise, if there's an echo, like we're working on those too.
Dogs.
The dog is our one audience member who likes to be very involved.
Which he ditched us halfway through. Ken had to try to sneak him out of the room without making
noise. Yeah, if you hear some random noise throughout the podcast, that's that. Anyways, but, thank you so much for listening.
We are grateful that you guys stuck around and Hope you guys have a wonderful day and great, or great, good luck to those who are taking the test. Good
luck.
Please let us know if you guys pass or you guys.
We'll celebrate all together.
Exactly.
We'll take a shot of water for you.
Next one, we should drink.
Water, I agree.
Yes.
Good luck. Just letting us know how you do.
Yeah. All right. We will talk to you guys next week.
Take care.
Bye.